I'm speaking today with Councilmember Wanda Adams, who is running for state representative in District 131 now. Councilmember Adams, thank you for talking to me today. What made you want to run for this office?
Well, just like if I could, first of all, I just want to thank you for always interviewing me every election year, and it's always indeed an honor. Just like when you asked me that question in 2007, what made me want to run for city council, when there was, like, at that time, it was 8 people in the race. Well, the constituents have asked me, would I consider going a little bit higher, because they've gotten used to my work ethics and putting constituency number one. And so they've asked, you know, now for like 2 years, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I was trying to wait till my last term. So, you know, constituents have made the call. They've made some suggestions that I take it to the next level, because 131 is District D. And so it's the same constituents who I've served, whom I fell in love with. And I just want to continue to serve them.
Okay. Having been a city council member for 2 terms, and now at the start of your 3rd term, how do you think that experience would help you serve in the state house if you were to be elected?
You know, it's going to help me a lot, actually, because it's the platform of being lunch. Because, you know, a lot of funding sources that we receive for the city of Houston outside of your sales tax and property tax, that we look at a lot of grant funds and things to help actually organizations and nonprofit organizations on the ground. And not only that, I can see where I've had the opportunity to work, you know, with Public Works, to knowing that that can be funding availability to help with street infrastructure projects that are in the district. And so I just want to be able to tap into those resources, and not only that, bring the attention of health services that are needed here as well. Not only that, knowing that particularly District D is like among the highest in the county, not as well as in the state, for highs with HIV and AIDS, and also CHIP, children not being having quality health care. And so that was just one of the issues. And when you look at the schools, I'm not the one to talk about the education in the schools that are here in the district, because I get calls from teachers, from parents, asking me, you know, what can we do about our schools? Please come take a tour of my school. I said, I don't have jurisdiction over schools and how they operate. They say, somebody should care. I said, I care. They said, well, come look. So I've had the opportunity to tour some of the schools, and some of the conditions that I see some of our schools are in, you know, is at disarray. And, you know, our public school system is not at its best. And the other thing, knowing that with the city of Houston, where we give tax incentives for businesses to move back into lower economic communities, not only that, that we give tax incentives for businesses to move in the community to be able to create jobs. And that is what we're lacking. So just looking at the foundation as an elected official for District D, knowing the boundaries, knowing the constituents, and hearing what they want, and have had a long-standing relationship with them now going on 13 years in the district, you know, and it puts me ahead, and it gives me a big plus with the constituents who I serve.
It seems like the city of Houston has somewhat of a rocky relationship with the legislature. You know, it seems like every session the legislature is trying to do something to the city of Houston. Like last time it had to do with the drainage fee, and mm-hmm. previously it had to do with red light cameras and with Safe Clear. Mm-hmm. What's been your experience dealing with the legislative delegation, and where do you think you might be able to kind of improve things?
You know what, the number one thing that I can say, and of course the state reps that I serve and work with currently on a daily basis, you know, I can't say anything about what they don't do. But some of the things that I can share, that there's a disconnect, is not with me, because I have a relationship, but it's the constituents. They feel that there's a disconnect between the constituents who vote for them and the person who serves at the state level. They feel like no one talks to them. No one let them know what's going on. But as an elected official for the city of Houston, and I think that they get into who like who, or who, you know, who's on the R side or who's on the D side. And sometimes the everyday person is affected by just the relationship between the elected officials here in Houston. And one of the things that when it comes to red light cameras, when they, you know, had to take it to the state and what they thought, the drainage fee, you know, taking it to the state. And now the big issue now is pensions, you know, that they're going to come with the 83rd legislative session to talk about decreasing or ridding the pension, especially from the fire department. Well, what you need is someone who has worked in it for almost 12 years, who've had relationship with municipal employees, fire department as well as the police department and know the importance of them surviving on their pensions. And if you've never been in it or worked in it, my pension is tied up in the city of Houston right now. So if you've never worked with it or had a relationship, you're not going to know how to speak for it. And so that's one of the advantages that I have going to the state house, is that the relationship that I already have and the communication that I can take to the body to be a team player. That was one of the greatest things that the Chronicle said in my last endorsement as a council member, is that a great public servant, but most of all, a team player who gets along with everybody. That's the number one plus that I want to be able to take, because I understand it's not like single person going to the legislature. You have to be able to get along with everybody, no matter what the party lines are. You have to be able to communicate with them. And so that is something that I want to bring. But you know what? And hear the voice of the constituents to find out what they want to hear. And I think that is something that's been missing, and not just going out on the whim. And people look at my record. I've always paid attention to the constituency, even when it came down to the drainage fee. You know, my constituents said, no, we don't want it. Guess what? I had to say, no, we don't want it. I can't just go with the status quo because they say go with me. My constituents are number one, and I think that's the advantage that I have by going to Austin.
Since you brought up the pension issue, Mayor Parker has said that she will ask the Houston delegation to the legislature to take some action to address some of the pension issues that the city faces, to allow them, for example, to, you know, perhaps to require the firefighters to, you know, do a meet and confer with the city. And right now, the city has essentially no authority over the firefighters' pension system. There may be some other changes as well. What's your opinion on that? What do you think? What would you be looking to do as a legislator to, you know, perhaps give the city some more, you know, autonomy over the pension system?
Well, I'm not for, you know, decreasing the pension system for our classified employees here at the city of Houston. I'm just not. Because when you look at the overall pension system, it's only 2% of the general budget. We still have 98% to operate with. So when you look at it as a whole, you know, how much did it really affect? Is it about control? Or is it about, because that's one pension system that's not under my helm? What is it really about? So one of the things that I just applaud, for instance, like this last cycle when we fell into a deficit, the Houston Fire Department, you know, they gave back a lent. I want to say they loaned $13 million back to the city for over the next 3 years. But that's not being said. So we have to be able to let everybody know what's actually being taken place, the relationship between the fire department and the city of Houston. Yes, there may be some changes, and we're looking at things we should do with new hires. Do we put them in such a higher pension rate, or do we eliminate, do we let them qualify for the drop? There are some things that we're looking at that we probably need to scale down on some, but eliminating pensions altogether just because you hear some of the 401 plans is going down the dust. Well, because we have viable, strong pension systems here at the city of Houston, we need to keep them viable. Because if you're talking about taking away pensions from our fire and police, they don't get Social Security. So what are you going to do? Are you going to let them retire into poverty? We cannot. If we're going to try to take something away, at least we need to come up with a viable solution.
Okay. Let's talk about public education then. Obviously, as you know, there have been numerous lawsuits now filed to force the state once again to address the way it finances public education. Your opponent, the incumbent council member Alma Allen, is now on an interim committee to study what the legislature might consider doing to address public education financing. What do you want to see the legislature do to address this?
Well, actually, this is something that should have been taking place a long time ago before now. This didn't just happen overnight. They saw this coming. They saw it in the last legislative session that there was going to be some issue with public education. Then we got hit in the 82nd legislative session that we knew was going to. When you lose $5.3 billion in public education, when you're giving tax incentives to all companies for $10 billion, somebody had to say, you know what, hold up, stop. We're taking away, which is something that's most important to Houston and our kids, is their education. You know, being a product of the Houston Independent School Districts, there are a lot of things that needs to go back into our school systems, like apprentice programs. We don't have those anymore. Those type of programs, we know every kid is not going to go to higher education. We need to look at programs that affect our everyday society of our children. And so when you think about $5.3 billion in cuts in our public education, we all need to say shame on us. Because first of all, we need to give back to our kids so they can have a greater opportunity to be able to excel. You know, you have some lower economic communities right now, schools that's right now in 131, enrollment is way below to where it should be. Because guess what? They're going to other schools. They're going to schools like Lamar. They're going to schools like Bel Air. They're going to specialized schools. Why? Because they feel that the schools that are in lower economic communities are not getting the fair education that they need. That's a sad, sad thing to say when you say you're an expert on education. When you're an expert on education, when the truancy level and the dropout level is at all-time high and no one is addressing that, when you have kids that are dropping out of school, don't even want to go to school anymore, when kids are failing in the ninth grade, and then when you come up with additional programs like the STAR test, no one communicates back to the parents to let them know that this is something that can make minority students fail. This is a sad day when we're doing that. And so someone has to communicate to our constituents. And that has not been done in the last 8 years. It just have not been done. And so the community is crying out, you know, we need help. And, you know, when they come to me and said, Wanda, would you please, you have a good record of working with us. You've been knowing us. You have a passion for it. Please go higher. And I'm like, well, you know, there's an incumbent in the seat. Let go higher. You know, I have nothing against the incumbent. I respect the incumbent that's there. But you know what? Like some people say, when your journey has ended, your journey has ended. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what it is, you have to be able to be creative, have the energy level, and have the know-how of local government to be able to take what you have at the local government and take it to the state government where there can be a communication tool where people can work together. Communities think that there's a disconnect.
Okay. Another issue that came out of this legislative session had to do with health care, in particular Medicaid, which was underfunded by several billion dollars. And more recently, the women's health program that the state has decided it can't continue anymore, in a dispute with the Obama administration because of their attempts to defund Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of generally, what's your view on that situation?
When you think about health care, Charles, sorry. When you think about healthcare, you have to think about who is affecting. When you are in a certain economic percentile, healthcare is not your number one concern because you can afford to pay into the system. You can afford to go to the hospital. The ones who cannot afford are the people who are not working, are the ones that are on Medicare. It's the poor. And so it's amazing the things that affect those that are in impoverished communities, they are taken away from. And I don't think that that's fair. I'm a female. And I have to be honest with you. I used Planned Parenthood when I was in college because I didn't have insurance. But if it wasn't for Planned Parenthood, I wouldn't have been able to go get my well woman exams, my breast exams, you know, whatever type of birth control that we did as college students. We wouldn't have been able to do that. You know, that is where my focus is. You know, I know that they're focusing on the other, you know, the big elephant in the room, which is maybe about 10% of their services. But when you look at the bigger picture, there you are cutting back funding that for people like I was that could not afford insurance, but I was able to go and make an appointment with Planned Parenthood. That's for the 4 years of my college life is where I received all my health care from. So I have a heart there because my mom and them didn't have insurance. They was on Medicare, so they didn't have it. So somebody told me about Planned Parenthood. You can go there, go get your breast exams, your woman wellness, anything that you wanted because I didn't have insurance then. So I applaud them for what they're trying to do. I know there's another issue that they're talking about. But with the majority of service for women healthcare, which affect women, you don't hear them talking about men. You know, issues. You know, men go and get men's wellness as well. They have to go get prostate checks. That's probably why prostate cancer is on a all-time rise, because nobody's promoting prostate cancer when it's killing our men every day. But nobody is saying anything about it. But we're trying to be able to educate our communities about health care. One of the things that I did as a council member, you have to know where the money is and know how to go ask for it. When before redistricting occurred, And I had, which is now District K, when I had the Heim Clark area and the Missouri City area, one of the biggest things that we looked at is healthcare. The community was always saying, we don't have any quality healthcare facilities. No quality healthcare facilities. We have nowhere to take our kids. Nowhere. The closest one was the medical center. That was far. So you have to be able to work with partners to say, hey, we need a healthcare facility. At the end in November, we broke ground on a building, $1.5 million off of South Post Oak. A senior community center, $500,000. You have to be able to know where to go ask for the money, and don't be afraid to bring those services to your community. These are things which I have done as a council member. And my God, if I could do them as a council member, man, the opportunities are great on what I can do as a legislature because of the relationships that I have, the relationships that I've built, and not being afraid to ask for them. But the only way you could do that, you have to know your constituents. You got to know your constituents. So when it comes to healthcare, Planned Parenthood, we have to be able to look at those areas that affect the everyday constituents, and that's why I think where I have heads up.
When we first started talking, you mentioned that the district, District D, council district has high rates of HIV AIDS. Mm-hmm. What would you want to do as a legislator to do something about that?
Education is the key. Something is missing when we're supposed to be educating, but the disease is on an uprise in minority community. Something is missing. Something is missing. The majority of our younger kids that are getting it are in our school system. We have to be able to take the stigma off and to be able to talk about these things in our school system. Kids are out there. They're being promiscuous. We're saying, say no. But they're not saying no. They're saying yes. If they were saying no, there wouldn't be an increase in pregnancy. There would not be an increase in HIV and AIDS. And it's among our school kids. So somebody has to take a stand and stand up to say we got to educate our community. Once we educate our community, where's the funding coming from? I support HOPWA funds to be able to support funding people who have AIDS in rental assistance, and I support that wholeheartedly. But we got to put funding into where our younger people are being affected. We have to be able to instill it into their brains. They said if you don't do this, your early death is on a rise. So we have to be able to be creative to take the stigma off because it's real. They don't want to talk about it in the churches. That's where the majority of the people gather on Sundays. They don't want to talk about it, but it's killing off our young people at a very, very early age. And we have to do something about it. So as a legislator, I want to be able to talk about it. I don't want to be ashamed because, you know, starting and working with the AIDS Foundation Houston many years ago when I used to work for the city, for the Housing Authority of the City of Houston, providing funds for people who had HIV, that's when I was first educated about it. And they used to tell us, they actually want to cross over. The people in the Montrose area, they say, how can we come over to your community and tell them? Because it decreased among, you know, the GLBT community, but it's increasing in a heterosexual community. Let us come and help you, you know. But we have to be able to release the stigma off of it and to be able to talk about it. And leaders have to be able to talk about it. If a leader don't talk about it, nobody else will talk about it.
What is your opinion of the legislative maps that were drawn ultimately by the court?
I like the maps. It's a great favor to me.
You're talking about specifically District 131.
Yeah, 131. But the maps as a whole, there is some disparity in some communities that I know there's been some argument about being able to elect the person of your peers. And so there are some distinctions out there. But right now with 131, I currently like the map that exists because I think it's fair, you know, because it didn't change much. It changed a little bit. 131 lost about 8 precincts and gained about 5 or 6 new precincts, and it's like 4 precincts neither the current incumbent had nor did Councilmember Adams had. So, I mean, it's favorable, and I'm like really, really excited. I mean, I'm like so excited. And, you know, we've been in the community. We start block walking, and when people open the door and they see me standing at the door, they like, your council member's at the door. Come on in. You know, and I go sit, but then when I tell them why I'm there, and I said, you know, I'm running for state rep 131, and then they would say, well, who's the state rep now? That shouldn't be. There should be a relationship built. You will never get the opportunity to know everyone. I wouldn't say that. But at least if you've been serving in a capacity for a length of time, people should have been able to touch you somewhere, somehow. And so, and that's what I just want to make that difference. You know, Shirley Chisholm said she didn't want to be known as the first African-American woman to run for the presidency of the United States or the first African-American woman to be elected to Congress. She just said, I just want to be the first woman to make an African-American woman to make a difference. And that's what I want to do. I want to be able to make a difference in 131, which is shy of maybe 8 or 9 precincts of District D. Just continue to serve the constituents who I've served now for the last 12 years, 4.5 of those years as an elected official. I just want to continue to do that because we have truancy issues that, you know, we have to be able to work on. Been working in the juvenile justice system for like 4 to 5 years. We have mental health concerns. They closed the mental health facility in the medical center because of the lack of Medicare and Medicaid funding. Shouldn't be. What's going to happen to those patients? They're going to get on the street. Then it's going to increase crime. There's something that we need to do. Affordable housing and quality housing issues that are going on. We can't have that. We need to, not more so in multifamily, we need to start focusing on how can we get people to move back in the community to increase our economic base and our tax base. So there are just some issues that I want to go in and address, and some stuff that I believe that I've been experienced in, just to take it to the next level. I'm excited to be able to serve, to be able to take what I've learned and all the array of capacity. You know, working with mental health, working in housing, being an elected official, work with juveniles and truancy, work with men and women coming out of the prison system. These are all things that affect us at the state level. And these are areas where I've worked and where I have experience. I'm a product of education, received my master's degree from Texas Southern University. So I know how important education is. And the same kids that walk the street today, I want them to have the same opportunity that I had. And so, but we have to give them that chance.
All right, so sum it up for me. Why should people vote for you in this primary, which, for all intents and purposes, is the general election in this
right.
district? Why should people vote for you in this primary to be the next representative for 131 and not the current incumbent?
Well, I've been elected to Houston City Council now, my third term. I have 22 years of public service experience. You know, I'm educated with a master's in public administration. I'm also, even though I know this people say is sorority against sorority, I'm always have to say this because I'm a National Social Action Commission member for Delta Sigma Theta Sorority on the national level. And also I had the opportunity to study abroad in Bahia, Brazil, to talk about social justice issues that affect America. So being able to know that and know the issues that affect us in Houston, I think is number one. You know, not only just being an informed employee with the city of Houston that worked with in and out of local governments, I worked on the 3 mayoral administrations that allowed me to work with state, federal, and local elected officials. And I have an opportunity just to serve. I've had the opportunity to serve almost 300,000 constituents before redistricting, and now I'm at like 200,000. So I have an array of experience of working with a mass number of constituents, and 131 averages about 160,000 constituents. So I've served almost 300, now 192. 93 depends on who was born on last night. And so one of the things I want to continue to do, that I want to develop policies to protect public employees' pensions, and that's what we talked about earlier. I want to continue to fight to restore funding back to the pre-K after school programs, which we know that that was tremendously cut out. No pre-K programs, and we know that cannot be, because that's where our youth and our babies, that's where they develop. I want to promote economic growth in District 131 in order to provide jobs in the area, and those are some things that I did as a council member. So if I can do these small things of bringing almost, not almost, now $500 million to the district in capital improvement projects just because I asked and I knew where everything was in the district. I didn't have to go search or go blind. I knew where they were. I knew how to go and get the blight torn down because I asked. I knew how to go in there and say, hey, these streets need to be done. Can you help me with this? How do we do this? Because I asked. And so those are some things that we need. People who know how to go and get the money and bring it to the district. I think that is something that has been lacking. That is something that I think that we need to improve. And that is one of the reasons why I want to go to the state legislature in Austin, and one of the reasons why the community is asking me to go higher. And so if they wasn't pushing me, I wouldn't be doing it, because the same people who asked me in 2005 to run for city council saying we're with you, even though I didn't have any money, And everybody know that. That was a big secret how I was going to do it because I didn't have any money. As of October of 2007, a month before the November election, I only had $7,000 in my campaign contribution. But I still was, I was victorious. Because why? Because I knew my community and I knew government. And so that is what's making the difference now, because I know my constituents and I know government. And so to wrap it all up, I'm Wanda Adams, former, currently Houston City Council member for District D, and I'm asking everyone who live in District 131 to consider me as their candidate in a primary election. And as we continue to move 131 forward in a new direction where there's energy, prosperity, and growth, and I want to be the leader to take us there.
Wanda Adams, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.